Hello and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
You're
not? No, no, I'm not. But he is my favorite conservative.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Very as if nice. This is news to you.
I'm shocked every time. I'm still your favorite. Awesome.
You're still my favorite. Yes. All right.
All right.
So season three, we march toward the election and we always start with the polls.
The polls indeed, yes.
Yes.
Why don't you start us off with the national poll?
Okay, so the Real Clear Politics national average, that's the one that we like the best that we'll always try to share with you. This is Trump versus Biden. Last week, Trump was up 0.9. He has increased that to a whopping 1.1. So
okay, a little bit.
I would say, again, all within the margin of error. Edward, tell us about the battleground
states. Let's go to the battleground states. Let's start with Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Last week, Trump was up 2% or plus 2.
Yep.
This week, he's up 2.3.
Okay.
So a little increase there for the former president.
Yes.
In North Carolina, last week, he was up 5.4. He is now up 5.
So he's down.
A little dip in North Carolina, however, outside the margin for error.
There have been a lot of dips.
Or the margin for cheat.
Okay. There have been a lot of dips.
Little dipsy doodle.
Give
yeah.
us the next one.
Let's go to Georgia. Last week, Trump was up 4.6. This week, he is up 4.
So, decrease.
Another decrease there. Michigan. Last week, Trump was up 0.8. He's now up 1.1. So, a slight increase there.
Slight increase. Yeah. And as we say, we think Michigan's going to be the deal breaker.
Either that or Wisconsin.
I think one of those. Well, tell us Wisconsin.
Last week, Trump was up 0.6. He's now up 0.1.
So, he's down.
Means it's deadlocked.
Yeah.
Let's go out west to Nevada, where last week Trump was up 6.2. He is now up 5.3. Another drop there.
Yep.
Arizona, Trump last week was up 5.2. He's now up 4.1. So
what do you think accounts for, and by the way, we see you watching live. Thanks so much for joining us live. And if you want to comment live, we will share the comment on the screen. But what do you personally, this is our opinion, people, think is the reason for these slight decreases in many of the battleground states, not just one of them, but four or five of them?
Yeah, I mean, he went up slightly in Pennsylvania, down in the others. I don't know whether it's maybe his trial getting notoriety. They're now going to do opening arguments or closing arguments.
Closing comes after opening, you know.
Okay. Learn something every day. Thank you. They're going to start those on Tuesday.
You guys only knew what we talked about before we went live. I swear to God.
Thank you. But everything's still pretty similar to last week. Nothing earth shattering.
Yes. And I just want to do a shout out because a friend of mine emailed me and said, who is this handsome guy sitting next to you? So shout out to Susan. Susan.
Oh, she's talking about me?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm not the handsome guy.
Oh. My first on-air compliment. Thank you.
You're welcome. All so right. I agree with you, Susan. Yes, he's like really freaking, you know, attractive.
All right.
So let's talk about, I love making him blush. Let's talk about Trump holding a campaign rally. And of course, he's very limited. He literally can only, what's the word I'm looking for? Like not debate, but he can only campaign. When he's not in court. So he's limited a lot of times, certain days or weekends only, or he has to stay near wherever the court is. But he had a campaign rally last week in the Bronx.
Yeah.
And that is AOC's backyard. For whatever reason, I thought she had a different district. I didn't know it was the Bronx. And let's face it, deep, deep blue.
Indeed. Yeah. I think about 8,000 people attended. What did Trump say? 25?
Trump said 25,000 people on the ground. Journalists said anywhere from 8 to 10.
Yeah, but.
But that's a lot.
8,000 people coming out in the Bronx for a man whose last name is Trump, is stunning to both the media and to the Democratic Party. The media reports were quite funny. The kind of the shock in the reporter's tone was interesting to hearing a lot of black residents saying with MAGA hats on and stuff. And it was. Delicious to watch for a conservative. Yeah.
And AOC. Well, they interviewed not just they interviewed not just Black residents, but white and young people. Yeah. Lots of young people that you would not think would be for Trump.
Well, they see and they feel how crappy their lives have gotten over the last 3.5 years.
And they also said many of them specifically, you can see all this footage. I think CNN did a lot of coverage. They said specifically that AOC had done absolutely nothing for them.
Yeah.
And it's her district, guys.
Yeah.
It's
they did a little montage of that.
Yes.
Where is she? You know, she has no idea what we're going through kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good. You know, I always wonder if they start getting really bad poll numbers in the New York area, are the Democrats going to have to start spending money in New York?
No.
In the general campaign?
No way.
It will be interesting.
No way. No way.
I think you're right, but I'm hoping opposite. Yes.
You know, they're going to focus on the battleground states.
Well, yeah, but you have to make sure you win in New York and in New Jersey.
They lose New York, they've lost.
Yeah, but they lose New Jersey, they've lost.
They lose any of those two. Yes, yeah. They absolutely have completely lost. Yeah. All right, so continuing on the topics that we feel like will affect the election, what are we talking about today?
Well, this is something that's snowballed since like 2020 and the whole COVID-19 pandemic, and that is the destruction of trust in our institutions, not just the medical, but institutions in general that we used to look up to.
Yeah. And in fact, Gallup does an annual poll of confidence in institution ratings, and it asked about 16 different institutions if you have a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in each institution.
Yeah. What was shocking to me is they survey 16 different institutions, whether it's the military, and we'll go into a couple of these here in a bit, but they also give you the all-time low in the same survey.
It's fascinating.
And of those 16 categories, 15 of the all-time lows were in Democratic administrations.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that, 95%?
We're not going to cover all 15.
No.
Yeah. So what we did was we picked some, and since I am the play-by-play person, we're going to start with the institution that people have the most confidence in and then go down to least confidence. Okay. And so I'll start, and then we're also going to give when the all-time low was. So the military, the confidence that people have is 60%. So keep in mind that's we're going from highest to lowest. So and the all-time low for confidence in the military was at 50% in 1981.
Yeah, and I kind of...
were alive then.
I was indeed.
You were older.
I was. I was military age at the time. I did not join the military, yes. But growing up, you know, toward the end of Jimmy Carter's administration, that's when the faith in the military just started to just plummet with the whole hostage... the Iranian hostage
crisis
that went on for 444 days, which is over a year.
Yes.
And I think it kind of culminated in 1981 as Reagan was just getting started. But I think by the end of Reagan's term, Reagan was pro-military. There's no question about that.
Yeah. So let's talk about some things that have not gone so well in the military during Biden's
administration. So why is it only 60%?
Right? Yeah. Why is it only 60%? Well, honestly, I thought it'd be lower. I got to tell you, I thought it'd be much lower. The debacle in Afghanistan, how more people aren't talking about that is shocking to me.
Yeah, that if everybody remembers, that was early in Biden's administration of his withdrawal and was complete chaos. We lost 13 service members that we didn't have to. And
you saw people hanging off planes, human beings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Desperate to leave.
Yeah, when we had a perfectly good air base called Bagram Air Base, which we spent like $1 billion building, and we turned it over to them and decided that the best place to evacuate the country was from the middle of the city and completely surrounded by your enemy. And it's just insane. And that, you know, that tells you right there, the advice that he's getting from his upper military echelon. Yeah.
And before we get to that upper echelon, I just want to say there was always a plan in place. Trump has talked about this publicly to leave Afghanistan. There was a plan in place. But I'm not pro Trump, but I have no doubt in my mind that Trump would have done it better. No doubt. It was done so half-assed and it was horrible.
Well, Trump's famous saying to the Taliban was, if you harm one hair on an American's head, we will drone you.
Yeah, expect it.
And nothing happened with him. So anyway.
So let's talk about that upper echelon. God, why'd you pick a word I can't say today? God, there's some wokeness infestation.
Well, that's the problem. You know, the great thing about our country is our military is led by a civilian, right? It's led by the president. Yes. He is the commander in chief, but he is a civilian.
Which is unusual.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, around the world, there's always juntas and whatnot. But the problem is being led by the civilian force, they have injected this woke crap into everything. And all the generals, all the colonels, and everybody from there know that if you don't play the game of being woke and, you know, coddling your underlings, that you are going to go nowhere.
Yeah.
And I was listening this past week to, in fact, I think it was Tulsi Gabbard. When she was talking about, the military and she was saying about that we are losing so many of the upper echelon, the generals and high colonels, that because of the wokeness, because they realize their careers aren't going anywhere anymore and we're losing the experience that they have.
I know. Yeah.
And, it's tragic. Yeah, it really is.
So, during the fiscal year 2023, the military services collectively missed recruiting goals by 41,000 recruits. Now, this is despite lowering physical fitness requirements. You don't have to be fit to get into the military anymore.
No.
At all. You don't. Yeah. And despite that, they missed their recruiting goals.
Yeah. And they lowering it for everybody. I mean, they had already lowered it for women that, you know, women don't have to do the same things as the male counterparts, but.
Oh, they've lowered it for men too.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They lowered it for everything. We just keep bringing the bar down and down and down. What are you going to expect? Right.
Yeah. And I've always been someone like the bar needs to be high, right? Right. You keep the bar high across the board in life in general, keep the bar raised high and the good people will strive to meet that. Right. But the lower the bar, you know, I mean, that's easy.
This is off track here a little bit, but I think it was back in Obama's administration. And if you were in part of the special services, the SEALs, everything else, you wore a beret.
Yeah.
And if you walked around wearing a beret, whether you're a Green Beret or a Navy SEAL or anything like that, you were a badass.
Yeah. And you respect it.
Yes. And guess what? They then made berets for everybody in the military. And it's like, no, it's okay to be elite.
Yes,
right?
It's okay,
especially in the military, right?
All right. Would you read the next one to us?
Well, this is, I think this really puts it in perspective. So in 1995, 40% of young people had a parent who served in the military.
Both my parents in the Air Force.
Air Force.
Yep.
By 2022, just 12% had a parent who had served. And it's very telling. And I hear veterans all the time saying, would I tell my child to go into this military, the way it's structured with the wokeness and everything? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So to continue on the military, now this was not specifically called out in that Gallup poll, but we're going to talk about just, again, quick overview of the FBI and the Justice Department. So take us back to the J. Edgar Hoover days, because I would say many people would say those were not the best days of the FBI.
Well, the FBI started back in, the 30s, and J. Edgar Hoover was the first FBI director who lasted until the 60s. So
he was like a czar.
It was
not a good way.
No, it wasn't. I mean, they do some good things? Yeah, but they also were, you know, the epitome of getting dirt on political opponents,
anybody.
Martin Luther King, everybody, all the Kennedys, you name it.
He ruled it with an iron fist.
Absolutely. It was his fiefdom. And when he ended up dying, I think that's how he actually, you know, went out feet first. Right. So they kind of rehabilitated in the 1970s. In fact, there was a very popular TV show called The FBI. Efren Zimbalist Jr. was the lead in that.
Yes, I was way too young to even know the show
existed. Okay, but it was very popular, and it was this image they projected of, you know, fidelity, bravery, integrity, hence the FBI. And that lasted for a while. I think that most people in the country thought that, well, the FBI are pretty solid, you know, individuals.
Until
somebody broke them, and that would be Donald Trump. He became president, you know, the collapse really started of the reputation with James Comey the Trump-Russia collusion, air quotes, we all now know there was zero collusion with Russia from Trump. That was a dirty trick by the Hillary Clinton campaign. And what you started to see was, you know, in order to spy on terrorists or anything like that, an FBI agent would have to go to the FISA courts to get a FISA warrant to spy on or
the freedom surveil. Of freedom of information. Is that what it is?
No, FISA, it's the FISA's. Federal. Oh gosh, I can't remember.
I'm thinking of a different one. Okay, so yes, all right.
Yeah, but anyway, so to swear out a FISA warrant, the FBI who is petitioning it has to prove that it is true and verified the information that they're giving to the FISA judge. Now, when you're dealing with a made-up dossier of complete lies, and you're verifying that you're telling the court that it is true and you have verified it, it's unverifiable, right? If something is false, you can't verify it, right? And they did that over and over on the Trump campaign. So hence the complete loss of, especially on the right. The right used to hold the FBI in high regard, and now it is an absolute political tool for a leftist administration.
Well, even RFKJ, yes.
Junior.
Yeah, well, the J is for junior.
RFKJ.
RFKJ, he wants to abolish the FBI. So I'm just saying, he's on the ballot, so, you know.
Well, it needs complete restructuring.
Yes.
And by the way, my brilliant idea, and Donald Trump, if you're listening right now, or anybody from the Trump campaign, is you need to announce that General Mike Flynn, if you win the presidency, will be the FBI director.
Okay.
And if you remember, Mike Flynn is the guy that the FBI completely effed over
in the
early days of the administration, and it would be a wonderful payback.
Okay. So this next one I didn't even remember, so I'm going to say it, and Edward's going to expand on it, because I'm like, what? I don't remember this. The Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer's kidnapping plot in Michigan.
Yeah.
What was that? I don't remember.
This was right before, a couple of months before the election of 2020. And if you remember, what did the administration, or what did the FBI and everybody say was the greatest threat to our country? White nationalists. That was it. Boy, look out for the white nationalists.
Okay.
And everybody's like, what are you talking about? So a couple of months before the election in 2020, all of a sudden the FBI announced that it had broke this attempted kidnapping plot of Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, right? Of Big Gretch, as she calls herself.
Yes.
We call it a fednapping because there was a group of, like, I don't know, seven people or whatever that were so stupid. These guys were, they basically used FBI informants and or agents to infiltrate a group of which they basically planted the seed to do all of these things. So they almost coerced these people into doing this. Some of them were found guilty of minor charges. Others were completely exonerated.
So you're saying it was sort of made up.
It was
totally made up.
Yeah. It
orchestrated.
Was
orchestrated.
It was. Thank you. That's the word. That's a great word. It was orchestrated by the FBI in order to establish this narrative of white supremacy, of which Donald J. Trump was, of course, the ringleader of white supremacists around the country. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And the last one, and then I think we really got to move on. Mm-hmm. Hunter Biden laptop. Yeah.
Hunter Biden's laptop that the FBI knew they had the laptop a year before the election.
Yeah.
A year. And they verified internally that it was Hunter Biden.
It was his. And there was some good stuff
there
on
was.
There.
But what they did was, again, they had it in like December or November of 2019. They verified it by early spring. And so what the FBI did is they started sending out people to Google and Facebook and all these other places and saying, you need to look out for possible a bombshell being dropped by Russia or something like that. And if it comes out, it's probably Russia disinformation. And so they kept setting up all these companies to wait for this. And of course, it came out right before the election and there was a complete blackout on it. So the FBI knew exactly what they were doing on this.
All right. Well, let's continue on with our Gallup poll.
Let's move forward, shall we?
We need to move forward. We got a lot to cover here and I'm looking at the time. So.
Okay.
So again, just a reminder, this is the confidence. So according to the Gallup poll, and this was just, it came out just 2023, right?
In fact, it's due to come out, I think, next month.
So, trust in the medical community is at 34%, military 60, medical community, that includes physicians, CDC, NIH, 34%. The all-time low was 31% in 2007.
I need to issue a mea culpa because that was actually at the end of George Bush's administration.
It was, yeah.
So
okay.
I was incorrect on 15 of the 16.
Okay.
Only 14.
Okay, but let's just touch on. I think most people know this, but the lab leak theory is a conspiracy theory. No, it's not. No. It's one of those things, and then you can jump on the next ones. This was one of those things where from the beginning. I forget which scientist said it or what law it is, but usually it's the simplest explanation is the most rational and logical one.
Yeah.
A lab leak was the simplest explanation, and yet we're supposed to believe it was some wet market and some bats or something.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yes, somehow it jumped from animals to humans.
They were doing this gain of function research. Everybody knew it, including, and we were funding it. And yeah, I never thought the lab leak theory wasn't true. Never.
Yeah, I think the funniest part on that is when Jon Stewart, the former comedian, went on went on Colbert.
Oh God!
And Jon Stewart was like, "There's a Wuhan Virology Institute in Wuhan," and it's like, and Colbert didn't know what to do.
You mean
you think that's true?
Yeah.
And he's like, "Come on, man."
I remember that.
Anyway,
yes. All right, how about
masks? Masks are essential, that you have to have masks, right?
Yes.
And that's been proven incorrect over and over and over and over.
Yes. And just because they knew that, it's not the cells or whatever, but were so small, they could get through masks.
Yeah.
So it didn't make a difference.
Yeah.
Lockdowns were necessary. Remember that? What was that? The two week?
They
called it 2 weeks.
14 week. Days to flatten the curve.
Flatten the curve. Right. Yeah, that was 15 bullshit.
Days, whatever it was. Yeah. But what pisses me off is like afterward now Fauci and a few others are saying, you know, maybe we shouldn't have treated, you know, Montana like New York City and had to lock, you know, really?
Yeah.
We only were saying that, I don't know, since the very beginning.
One thing you don't have on here is the six feet rule.
Fauci
has come out and said they made that up. They wanted to say 10 feet, but believed nobody would actually comply. So they thought they could make people do 6 feet, but there was no science behind that, guys.
And how many of you people are still going to your stores and you're seeing the lines still on the floor, right?
Most of the stores here where we live, those are gone.
I just went to Walgreens. They're still there.
No.
There's still a few of them.
Oh, geez. Yeah. All right. Okay. go ahead and do the next one.
Yeah, the vaccines are going to stop the spread of the virus.
Nope.
You know, we know people that have been vaccinated 10 times and they still get COVID regularly. Yes.
Yes. All right. Hydroxychloroquine is dangerous.
Yes, the hydroxychloroquine that's been used around the world for 50 years, literally billions of times, all of a sudden is dangerous.
Well, it was dangerous because it was generic.
And they
couldn't make money off it.
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, let's continue.
How about ivermectin is horse medicine?
And it has been used on horses.
Well, it was a people medicine first.
Right.
Of which they found later that it could help horses.
Yes.
But since Donald Trump said, you know, maybe we should try ivermectin, it became a Trump thing.
Yes.
And you had to vilify it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is these next two are the kind of the saddest two of these. The eminent virologists were discredited and canceled. I mean, shame on you. I mean, there were so many people who were trying to speak up and say these things. And they were completely just dismissed and canceled and fired.
Yeah, there were three eminent virologists, one from Cambridge, one from Harvard, and one from Stanford, I believe. And they're top of their field virologists. And they issue what was called the Great Barrington Declaration, of which they laid it out. And Fauci and Collins, who was head of the NIH at the time, they actually conspired on how can we stop this information from getting out, and we need to basically denigrate these virologists.
The destruction of businesses. I mean, I lost track of how many small businesses closed here permanently where we live, and I know it was much worse in other areas. All right, let's quickly, this is part of the medical community. It was not part of the Gallup poll. We're just going to touch on it, though. What is going on in medical schools today?
Well, they're allowing unqualified students into medical school. Now, you would think, right, what's the first rule? Do no harm. First, do no harm, right? But yet, let's let people in who don't have GPAs. You know, usually your GPA is going to tell you how pretty close to how you're going to do in a very rigorous educational setting like a medical school.
I could push back on that, but let's continue.
But it's okay. But they are now also rejecting top candidates.
That's just the problem.
Because of their race and or gender.
Yeah. If you're white or Asian, forget it.
Yeah. Remember, Asian is
white adjacent.
That's correct. Right. Yes.
And there's one more thing.
What's
medical schools are
really
doing.
Sad. Go on YouTube and look at the Columbia Medical School. And watch all these white coats have to stand up and make a pledge to DEI, of which if you're a doctor, you treat anybody. You're not going to get special treatment if you're this color or that color.
Yeah.
You treat everybody the same. So,
all right. So moving on back to the Gallup poll, the criminal justice system, the confidence level is at 17%. That's actually better. It was at an all-time low in 2022, again, still the Biden administration, at 14%. So it's gone up a little bit. And I love what you said here. We have a two-tiered justice system.
Yeah, I mean, we've always kind of had this unbalanced system, and it used to be based on your income, right? You know,
and race to some degree.
Well, yeah, but yeah, race and economics.
Right.
Let's
yes.
put it that way. You know, rich people, they always somehow managed to skate, right?
Of
because
course.
They got these incredible attorneys. And was there an imbalance with race? Absolutely. But now the unbalance is political affiliation.
Absolutely.
And if you are on one side of the political spectrum, you're going to be taken down a lot quicker with a lot more resources.
Yes.
By the Justice Department, unfortunately.
Yeah. And lawfare is now a weapon used by the left to go after their opponents. And can you tell people what that means?
I mean, lawfare is kind of a new term. You know, just think of warfare using the law. And so what they're doing, lawfare is actually, the definition is the strategic use of legal proceedings to intimidate or hinder an opponent. And a perfect example is like the January 6th prosecutions, where they have rounded up literally thousands of people from January 6th. There have been people in solitary confinement for weeks and months at a time. They are spending years awaiting their trial. You've got grandmothers being charged with parading, you know, as the cops were holding the doors open and people were walking in going, oh, look, and some people were praying.
And that
in
is
there.
Actually a right to protest. That's one of our rights.
Yeah. But Donald Trump is the number one example of lawfare, because they will try to tie him up with every lawsuit possible to hinder him from becoming president again. Or God forbid, if he wins, they're going to just completely try to shut down his administration again.
And I love what you have here. The process is the punishment. And that's true.
Yeah, absolutely. So especially like on a January 6th, where they don't care if they get the prosecution necessarily, they're sending a message that says, we can come after you. We can come after the president of the United States. You're nothing. And we have unlimited resources. We will tie you up forever. So you better plead guilty to this. So going through the process is the punishment.
Yep. Yeah. All right, moving on back to the Gallup poll, media, the confidence in the media is at a whopping 16%.
Yeah.
It was at an all-time low only 2 years ago at 13% in 2022. So this is a slight improvement. And I think this is such a good point. Does anyone think that there's a truly unbiased news outlet anywhere anymore?
Yeah. No, there isn't.
No.
You know, you have MSNBC, you have Fox, you have CNN. Those are the big three cable outlets.
Yeah.
Do they all go straight down the middle?
No.
Not even close.
CNN used to be more
to the
middle.
They used to try to pretend they were.
Okay, but they were a little more to the middle. I think they were.
Okay.
But they're certainly not anymore.
MSNBC is, yeah.
Well, okay, so talk to us a little bit in like 1 minute or less about news versus opinion shows and what happened.
Yeah.
The history.
It used to be there was the news section, you know, of a paper or broadcast, whatever, and then there were opinion shows. And the news always lost money,
yes,
right? Because they would do these investigative reports and spend, you know, months and months doing certain things. And back about 30 years ago, they decided that news needed to make money.
Yeah.
And the way you make money is you do quicker stories and you use more opinion-based things because they know they're going to get the viewers, you know. Now it's called they'll get the clicks, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, back then it was the way, if it bleeds, it leads. That's when that kind of started.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Print media, we've seen the same thing with the New York Times. There's a complete meltdown over Tom Cotton's op-ed.
Yeah, I remember Senator Cotton, he wrote an op-ed in the summer of 2020 suggesting perhaps we need to think about using the National Guard to restore peace in our cities. And the meltdown at the New York Times was epic. I mean, people got fired, people quit because they couldn't stand the possible other opinion in their opinion pages.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And the huge majority of the media pushes the same point of view. And it is, I didn't used to think this way, but I see it now. It really is always from the left. We talked about that NPR piece. Gosh, if we had a producer, we could tell you what episode that was, but it was a few episodes back. What was the name of the guy?
Yuri something, yeah.
Yes, and he wrote, and of course, he wrote this piece coming out about how what's happened with NPR. He worked there for, two decades?
Yeah, 25-year leftist employee. He admits he's a leftist. No question about
and
that.
They fired him. They suspended him and then fired him. And just FYI, if you've ever been suspended at work, that means you're on your way to get fired.
Yes,
I've been
yes.
there. That just leads to being fired. That's all it is.
Yeah. Now, to me, about the only publications out there that are free of the garbage, of the crap, are Substack.
Well, it depends on whose Substack, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but you can
search
whatever
yes.
you want on there.
Yeah.
They'll have all kinds of different things on there.
That's true.
And also a new website called The Free Press. And this was actually started by Barry Weiss.
From the New York Times.
New York Times, who got fired because of the Tom Cotton stuff, or resigned, whatever.
I believe she resigned because they were supposed to support these tweets against him, and she refused to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she resigned over it.
Yeah,
so.
it was like a hatchet job going on, and she said, "I'm not going to do it."
Yeah,
and so yeah, those to me are probably two of the freest platforms that you can take a look at.
So we'll put a link to the Free Press in the show notes, and you should definitely check it out. All right, so all that terrible news, we do have This Week in Wins.
We
don't always have a This Week in Wins, but we do have a really good one this week. Edward, tell us what it is.
Well, this is from our good friend, Christina Layla at thegatewaypundit.com.
Okay.
And the headline, in huge blow to Hillary attorney Mark Elias, Nevada Supreme Court rules 7-0 in favor of voter ID ballot initiative. You want to read the...
Sure. So in a unanimous decision, the Nevada Supreme Court on Friday ruled in favor of the voter ID ballot initiative spearheaded by Repair the Vote PAC. And now, again, this is the initiative part of it. It was filed in early November. It would actually amend Nevada's state constitution and require that everyone who's voting in person present an improved photo ID before being provided a ballot. It would also require that voters submitting a mail-in ballot provide additional verification of identity when completing said mail-in ballot. And this is according to the Nevada Globe.
Yeah. And it says, so they now need 102,000 signatures by June 26th to get this on the 2024 ballot so that they can vote on it and get it passed. They have to have at least 26,000 signatures they only have 4 congressional districts there, from each district there.
So we will put a link to this in the show notes as well. If you are in Nevada, please check this out. Please look at it.
Yeah, they've collected 60,000 as of early May. So they're
halfway there.
Halfway there.
More than halfway there.
Yeah. And by the way, so in that headline, it mentioned Mark Elias.
Yes.
So he was one of the architects behind the whole Hillary Clinton fake Russia dossier thing. And he's one of these, he's like a mob attorney that always gets his hands dirty, doing all this dirty work, and filed this lawsuit to help slow down getting those signatures. You know, again, let's look at that very quickly. Is you've got something that says, gee, people need to show who they are to vote.
Yes.
And you've got one of the top Democrat attorneys in the country doing everything he can to stop it. I think that ought to tell you something.
Yeah.
So that's a week in wins.
That is a week in wins, but it'll be a bigger win if they get the signature. So please, if you live in Nevada, please sign on to that. There's no reason that people shouldn't have to show ID. All right. So we don't have a this week in WTF.
Yes.
Again, that's always if we have it. But we always have this week in woke. Tell us where you got this one, Edward.
This is a good yuck here.
This is
today.
A great, yeah, this is just fun,
this
guys.
This is from our good
we
friend.
We always try to end on a fun note.
Yeah, from our good friend Lincoln Brown at PJ Media.
We love PJ
great
Media.
Source. Headline, woman shocked to discover she can get pregnant.
Sorry, I just can't.
All right.
Okay, I'll try. Okay, can I try?
Do it.
I'll try.
You can try.
18-year-old, of course, she's Florida, by the way. I can bag on Florida. He's a Floridian. All right. An 18-year-old Florida woman was surprised to find out that she was pregnant after being intimate with her boyfriend. So Time Magazine originally reported the story under the headline, "His pregnancy came as a shock. Florida's abortion law made it harder." Okay. So yes, you read that correctly. Jasper is a woman who identifies as a man. Jasper, you're still a woman. And she had been taking testosterone, gave her a deeper voice, facial hair. It did decrease her menstrual period. Of course it did. Thank you. We see more people watching live and I'm losing it. Okay.
So because Jasper had decided she was a man, the doctors didn't even consider pregnancy as a possible cause of her nausea, soreness, and pain. All symptoms that can occur when a woman is with child. It wasn't until she was 12 weeks along that a medical professional delivered the news that she was going to be a mother. But due to Florida law, that left her with only 3 weeks left to get an abortion, which she did.
Okay.
She did.
But I mean, so she's apparently she believed that the doses of testosterone she was taking would be enough to ward off pregnancy. But I just, and this is such a great quote, but as stated in Jurassic Park, life finds a way.
Yes, it does.
And in this case, life did.
Well, I think this is just a perfect example of you can pretend to be somebody else. You can pretend to be the other sex or the other gender.
Yeah.
You are not.
Yes.
You can pretend all you want. You are not.
Yes, Jasper, you still had all your original equipment and therefore you were perfectly capable of conceiving a child. How you thought that wasn't possible. I just, mind blown. I don't know.
Going back to a little bit earlier, when you talked about how you kind of now see how everything slants towards the left
from
most publications.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the headline on this, his pregnancy came as a shock. And of course
that was Time Magazine.
Right. Yes. Okay. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So anything publication out there, you're going to get this kind of stuff from. And then, of course, tried to go after Florida's abortion law. So that's what they put in the headlines.
Yes. Yeah. And I think the real point is, the abortion law aside, you're a woman. Okay.
Always will be.
You're a young woman. Yep. And unless you've had a full hysterectomy and you're otherwise healthy, does taking testosterone over a long period of time decrease your fertility? Of course it does, but it doesn't mean it's not possible.
Yeah. And another thing that kind of jumped out at me is this 18-year-old. So Jasper's only 18. So Jasper, I'm assuming, started this stuff when she was
underage.
Minor.
Yep.
Yeah. That's so sad.
It's very, very sad. So that is our This Week in Woke. thank you so much. We see a lot of you watching live right now. We always love the comments, but do understand if you don't want to comment publicly. If you joined us live today, thank you so much. Please follow us on all social media platforms. We are live most Sundays, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are not going to be live next Sunday. However, we already have a show for you, so please tune in. And when we do stream live, it's on YouTube, Rumble, LinkedIn, X, and Facebook. If you're listening to the podcast, which always drops the next day on Monday, first of all, happy Memorial Day.
And to you.
Yeah, happy Memorial Day. Please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. Your review helps more people find it, so we really appreciate those reviews. The podcast is available wherever you're listening right now.
All right.
Okay. I hate to say, I feel like a broken record, still working on the locals community. We're still trying to get it together. Sorry, guys. We will, because we really want to meet all of you that are watching live, and we see more and more each week, so we're really excited. Find us, myfavoriteconservative.show. That's also where you can email us personally, myfavoriteconservative.show.
All right.
All right. The handsome man sitting next to me. Anything else?
I thought you were looking over my shoulder.
No. Well, who would be there?
I don't know. Handsome man. We're good. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, everyone.
All right. We'll see you next week. Not live, but we'll be back.
That's right.
All right. Bye-bye.